Thank you, ladies, for singing that song for us. Please stand with me, if you will. Grab your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs 15, thank you for being here this evening and being faithful in the summertime to our church. Your part is very important for our church to continue to go forward. And as Brother Joseph mentioned, please continue to pray for our pastor. Maybe there's somebody here that is newer and you don't know that on our website, I think it's www.pacificbaptist.com, there are updates about our pastor's condition. I believe the latest update, Brother Pichardo, June 16th, and that's when Pastor, from what I read, gave the most response that he's ever given, and really to the person that it mattered the most to, amen, the neurosurgeon, and that's a good thing. And by the way, there's still hope. There's still hope. I know sometimes we look at conditions, and we look at, we speculate, and we hear bad reports, and we compare it to other things, and we often think there's no hope. But it's kind of hypocritical for us to feel down about a situation when we got saved because of hope, amen, because of the miracle that God did for us. And I don't think there's anything that, humanly speaking, that can be as hard as saving somebody from hell to heaven. Nothing can compare. So if God can do that, God can do anything. Let's go ahead and read here. Proverbs chapter number 15. We'll read four verses, three in Proverbs, one in Psalms, and then we'll open up in prayer. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. If you look down at verse number 23, the Bible says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Please turn over a couple pages or one page to Proverbs chapter number 18. Proverbs 18, and we will look together at verse number 21. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And then one more verse, please, before we pray. Psalms chapter number 19. Psalms 19, which is the book before Proverbs. Psalms 19, and we will look at verse number 14. This is actually a song that we often sang when I was in high school. I will spare you of that. We'll just go ahead and read it here. The Bible says in Psalms 19, verse number 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for salvation, for the hope of heaven, for the life that means that we get to live on earth, the quality of life we live, not just because we have money and we have shelter and we have things, but the quality of life that we get to live because we know you. And God, you are a very mighty God and very powerful God. And anything that we need in our life, if you seem fit to give it to us, you will. And it's good to know you. I pray that this evening, I know that all of our church members came tonight, not just to come to church, just to sit and listen to a little message and move on, but we all need to hear from you. And for whatever reason you've chosen to have me behind this pulpit this evening, my prayer is that all eyes are on you and that you will receive glory. And there'll be something from your word that's read, that's preached, that's taught, that can be applied in all of our lives, and that we'll leave church differently than when we came. Not just stirred, but changed for your glory. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first couple of verses that I read this evening, anybody can clearly see that those verses paint a very clear picture of the power of good words, the power of words. Proverbs chapter number 18, the Bible says, death and life from the power of the tongue. And often when we hear sermons on the tongue or our words, we often are directed to James, where the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poisons. And no doubt our tongue is a very powerful tool, and it can hurt people. You can put people down, and you can discourage with it. But if I may this evening, I want to take our attention from how deadly our tongue can be to how useful it can be to helping people, to blessing people. And it's not a popular topic because nobody likes to praise people. Amen. We like people to praise us, and we're all kind of selfish in that way. At least I know I am. But I hope that this message this evening will help you in all relationships of your life. Praise is a very powerful tool. Praise is a very powerful tool. As a matter of fact, I have written down here, praise is a tool that we can use to express to loved ones in our lives. The expression of approval or admiration for someone or something is what I find in my dictionary. Praise is simply expressing esteem for a person. We know that when we praise one another, we are praising their virtues or their accomplishments. Using this tool of prayer to express what you feel towards someone can actually help your relationship. Number one, we learned right away that praise is a tool that we can use to express. Number two, very quickly, praise is a tool that we can use to encourage. Praise is a tool that we can use to encourage. Have you ever been down before? Have you ever, as they say, woke up on the wrong side of the bed? I don't know if that's ever physically happened to me, amen, but I know it's happened figuratively speaking many a times where you wake up in the morning and you show up at work and you're just not having a good day. Maybe your hair just not going down like it should, and no matter how much you brush your teeth, that garlic is still there, and your coworkers are there to remind you. How you doing, everybody? That reminds me, my breath smells like garlic every day. And it's just not going well. And for some reason, you're not very motivated to maybe go on with that day now. You're not thinking about suicide or anything, but you're just having what's classified as a bad day. But on their way to you, God sends somebody that's spirit-led, spirit-filled, and they come by with a little bit of praise. They come by with a little bit of a compliment. And maybe you don't have anything in your life that merits a compliment for whatever reason, though. They praise you for something, and that changes your day. I don't know about you, but I enjoy people like that. And if that's what you are and who you are, please come to Pacific Baptist Church. My office is right over there. I could use a little bit of praise, amen. That's what this message is all about. But anyhow, praise is a very powerful tool that we can use to encourage one another. Hey, the next time we see somebody down, don't go off to your little circle of friends, as I like to say in our school, and kind of gossip about them or say, what's wrong with them? Or worse yet, directly go up to them and say, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with your face? Maybe they need a little bit of praise. You can encourage somebody with a little bit of praise. By the way, not only does praise encourage those that are down, but praise, I hope I say this right, can encourage people in your life to continue doing things that you like them doing. You're taking notes, forget about it. Just try to remember it later on. Praise can encourage people in your life to continue doing the things that you like them doing. For example, my son right now, though he's like 5 years old, amen, is starting to get potty trained. No, he's actually 2.5. And my method of potty training is not the same as the method of the books that we're supposed to read and the method that my wife has. My method of potty training is, do you know how much detergent costs? You need to quit doing what you do in your windbreakers and your diaper or your pants, and you need to go over to the restroom. My wife's method of training is praise, which is what we're taught to do, amen, as young parents. Wow, that's amazing, CJ. I can't believe you almost made it to the restroom. I can't believe, wow, that's amazing. What you just did there, let's try it over there, okay? And sure enough, my son, for whatever reason, will feel like he's the greatest little child on the face of this earth. And now he's actually 90% of the time using the restroom in the restroom, all because of a little bit of praise. Praise is very powerful, and I'm glad I got to share that illustration with you. Praise not only is a tool of expressing, it's not only a tool of encouraging, but praise is a tool of endearing. Endearing. You know, I believe the most important institution that God created was the family, the marriage, the family. But I believe that is one of the institutions that's forsaken. With jobs and the pursuit of careers and money and finances and entertainment, sometimes our children or our spouses are the ones that have to suffer as a result of that. We often enjoy praising people at work, and if you're an employer, you praise your employees, or if you have people in your ministry, it's easy for us to praise those in our Sunday school classes because we want them to come back the next week. But if we're not careful, we can get caught up praising people around us and forget to praise the people that should mean the most to us. Our family, a little bit of praise goes a long way. Maybe what your marriage needs and my marriage needs is a little bit of praise to draw us closer to one another. Maybe your child is rebelling because they're not getting praised. Hey, I'm all for rebuke. I'm all for calling somebody out. I get to deal with the discipline in our school, and it's not easy. I don't enjoy telling somebody that they're wrong or they're going to get suspended. But everybody that comes across my office, by God's grace, you talk to them. I try my best to try to find something to praise them about or some way to communicate that I love them, because I understand that though rebuke is necessary, praise is even more so necessary. Let's add praise into our families. Everyone needs a little recognition for his accomplishments, but few people make the need known quite as clearly as the boy who said to his father, "Let's play darts. I'll throw and you say wonderful." Let's play darts. I'll throw and you say wonderful. Now, when talking about the subject of praise, I want to be very clear, and please don't mistake me here. I'm not saying that we ought to live our lives in such a way where we get the praise of men. That's called a man pleaser. Hey, all that we do, if it's at work or at the ministry or with our families, that ought to be for the glory of God and his purpose only. However, it doesn't hurt if you see somebody fulfilling their responsibility at the home or doing a great job at work or doing a great job in ministry, to give them a little pat on the back, send them a little email, and encourage them with a little bit of praise. You don't know what it's going to do for them. You don't know. Praise is very powerful. The first question we somewhat answered in the beginning of the message is, what is praise? And we talked about how praise is a tool. The second question that I'd like to ask you this evening is, who are we to praise? Who are we to praise? Please turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we're going to look at one verse at 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. And for sake of time, if I may, I'm going to go ahead and start reading here at verse number 25. Who are we to praise? Verse number 25, the Bible tells us, "For great is the Lord," amen, "and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, because great is the Lord." I want to encourage you this evening that we need to be reminded that our God is great. The other day I listened to a sermon by a preacher in the East Coast, and he was talking about the problems in our marriage and the problems in our lives, and the reason why we fall into sin time and time again. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. It's our mindset. It's how we view the Lord. If we serve a small God, we're going to fall into sin more often. We're not going to feel like we ought to give our lives to him. We're not going to tithe like we should. We're not going to go to church like we should. But if we serve a big God and we honor from who he is and we respect him and we value his place in our lives, life is going to be different. Our God is great. How about it this evening? Do you serve a big God or a small God? Hey, as I mentioned, let's praise one another, but if we're praising each other, let's not forget to praise God. He's the one that gets all the glory. He's the one that should be getting all the praise. I don't often do this, but in our school, I have different seasons, I call them, that I'll just talk about different things to try to encourage our students. And one thing that I notice this year, and not just this year in particular, but during blessing time, man, who's got a blessing? Everybody would raise their hand. I think, you know, my mom for taking me out to eat, and I'm thankful that they're thanking you, moms. Don't get me wrong here. I thank my brother. He's a great brother. I thank this, and I thank that, and I thank them. But I thought to myself, boy, who's thanking God for anything nowadays? So I would often say, well, who's got a blessing that God did for you? And then they kind of sit there and think, and boy, that's kind of hard now, right? That's kind of hard when you think about it that way. Now, I'm not trying to pick on them or anything, but I think sometimes we put God to the side so much that we forget that it's okay to verbalize our gratitude to him. What has God done for you this evening? Is he worthy for your praise? Is he worthy of the glory in your lives? He ought to be getting praise. You know, oftentimes in prayer, I find myself, and forgive me for this, this is an opportunity for you to throw darts at me here, a little transparency. I find myself in prayer, I have a model that I try to go by, and actually it's a couple different models, so it's not the same all the time. But the common model is what I teach to our students, is acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Can I tell you the part that I look forward to the most? Supplication, and the intercessory part. The part where I get to be selfish. The part where I get to say, Lord, here are the needs that I have. And oftentimes, if I'm not careful, and it happens more often than I want, I'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll say, Lord, you're a wonderful God, and you're a powerful God, and thank you for salvation, and thank you for another day of life, and thank you for all you've done for me, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, I'll jump in. Now, here's the real prayer, God. I have needs here. My mom needs help. My dad needs help. I need a raise at work. Amen. Brother Beck's not here. I need help here. My ministry needs to grow. Me, myself, and I. But I forget the most important part of my prayer. It's not the supplication. It's not the confession, though it's needed. It's not even when I pray for myself, but it's the praising part. It's the praising part. That praising part, that adoration, when you stand before a holy God and you let him know that he means something to you. He's the most important person to you. He's the reason why you have breath. He's the source of all the energy you have to work. He's the reason why you have a bank account with money there and energy to work to provide for your family. He's given you health to be able to praise God. He's the one that should be getting praise. And oftentimes we skip out on that. We miss it. We miss it. I wonder how much or how many more of our prayers would get answered if with a little bit more praise. I wonder how much more of God we can get his attention with a little bit more recognition. God deserves our praise, and God deserves the glory in our lives. The first reason, I've mentioned some already, but I like to focus on why we should praise God is simple. Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43, and I'll tell you. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and we'll read two verses there. The Bible says, and for sake of time, forgive me, I'm going to read here. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse number 7, the Bible says, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Turn over real quick, please, to verse number 21, just a couple verses down. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. It is very clear here that the purpose for our creation is to praise God. Oftentimes as a teenager, and when we counsel with them at church here, we ask them to seek and pray for God's will to be fulfilled in their life. And I know what that really means is, where am I going to serve? Who am I going to marry? What city am I going to live in? And what church am I going to be at? And all that. But really, it's very clearly painted here that the purpose for our existence, or God's will for us every single day, is to give him praise. How much of God's will are you fulfilling today? Are you giving him praise? Are you giving him praise? A body is not crippled till its heart has ceased to praise. Louis Albert Banks tells of an elderly Christian man, a fine singer, who learned that he had cancer of the tongue and that surgery was required. In the hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man said to the doctor, "Are you sure I will never sing again?" The surgeon found it difficult to answer his question. He simply shook his head no. The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment. "I had many good times singing the praises of God," he said. "And now you tell me I can never sing again? I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." There in the doctor's presence, the man sings softly the words of Isaac Watts' hymn, "I'll praise my maker while I've breath, and when my voice is lost in death. Praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall ne'er be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures." Let's praise God while we still have breath. God created us to praise him, and maybe you've not been praising him up to this point in your life, but it's okay. You can turn that around, and you can give God the glory that he deserves. Let's praise God because he created us. Let's praise God because he created us. Next, let's praise God because he saved us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and I have this verse here ready to go, so I'm going to start reading. The Bible says in verse number 20, we're actually starting verse number 19, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We ought to praise God not only because he created us and sustained us, but we ought to praise God because he saved us. That ought to get us excited. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are times in my life where I mechanically and monotonously thank God for my salvation. I find myself just trying to get through that part of my prayer that I have built in for whatever reason out of tradition. But let me tell you something. Salvation is very important, and it's a tremendous gift, and it's something that we should not flippantly thank God for, but it's something that we ought to dig down deep and praise him for. Are you glad that you're saved? Are you glad that you're on your way to heaven? I don't know about you, but if God said, now he wouldn't, but if he said that I'm going to take your salvation away, I would feel tremendous sorrow. I would feel tremendous fear. I would have no purpose for living. I couldn't walk another step knowing that I'm going to perish in hell one day. But praise God, he's never going to do that because of eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And let's get excited about it. I believe when we get to heaven, we'll truly be excited about our salvation. But why wait until then? Why wait until we see our people that maybe we know thrown into hell for rejecting Christ? Why wait until we see his nail-pierced hands when we can take advantage of being grateful for the greatest gift that was ever given? Salvation. Salvation. It's big. Take time. Take time to thank God. I don't know about you, but with my son, and I know Pastor did this, if he doesn't say thank you, he ain't getting it. If he doesn't say thank you, he ain't getting it. Now, God is not going to take salvation away from us, but I wonder how many Christians he looks at. And I wonder how many times he looks at Charlie Chin and says, wow, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I went to the cross in humility and shame to shed my blood for this boy, and he's not even praising me for it. Let's be very cautious to praise God for our salvation. Next, praise God because he's good to us. Praise God because he's good to us. The reference is Psalms 145, verse number 9. Praise God because he's good to us. A song is often sung in our church, God's Been Good. Whenever I look at my wife and I think about as a teenager how I prayed for a lady, someone to accept me and love me and care for me and allow me to serve God and take care of the things at home and give me children. Now that I have my wife, I can only say, God is good. God is good. And now that I have a son, he's 2 and a half, and he's learning how to be polite, and he's learning how to clean up his toys, and he's learning how to use the restroom and all those important things, I can only look to the heavens and say, God is good. And my daughter, God is good. And another son on the way in about 5 weeks now. If you're wondering who the one is holding up the traffic in the hallway, that's my wife, amen. Doctors say 5 and a half weeks. I think it's about 5 and a half days. But pray for us. But God is good. When I look at my ability to be able to work, and though I may not be the strongest and I may not be the fastest, but I have strength to work, I can only say, God is good. When I go to the refrigerator as often as I do and I open it up and I see food in there and fruit in there and snacks in there and things that I can eat throughout the whole day, I'm only reminded that God is good. When I got in my little minivan here that God allowed us to buy and I'm able to drive my family comfortably to church while I pass by all these people that are waiting for the bus and waiting for the shuttle and waiting for the blue line, God is good. How about it this evening? What can you point to and say, God is good? I understand that you may have health problems, and I'm not taking that lightly. I get it if you're taking medications. I understand if you may have just gotten laid off, but God is still good. Praise him. Maybe he'll bring more mountaintops along our way and less valleys if we praise him more. But we've got to praise him. Praise God because he created us. Praise God because he saved us. Praise God because he's good to us. The less you know about God, the less you'll be able to praise him. And that's where the Bible comes in. That's why it's very important for us to spend time in our Bible. That's why it's very important for us to be at church. The more we learn about God, the more it's obvious for us to praise him. So first, who are we to praise? We're to praise God. Secondly, I have everybody under this. Others. Others. Family, friends, coworkers. But if it's okay, I'd like to just focus on family tonight. Praise your family. Praise your family. It's just oftentimes mentioned behind the pulpit that this is the time where men get to be grateful for their wives. When is that? Ladies' conference. Ladies' conference, when, honey, is dinner? Oh, dinner's on me. Oh, hey, honey, that smells a little bit. Someone going to help Audrey? No, you're going to help Audrey. One time I was with a dad, and there was an accident with one of the children. He didn't know how to change diapers. He opened up, he turned on the bath, put water in the bathtub, and he just, like, was waiting his little son around in there until there were things floating around. It wasn't a boat. And I thought to myself, wow, praise God he has a good wife to take care of all that. But praise God for our wives. You know, oftentimes when I come home from work, there are things that I may see that I may be like, why is this like this? How come she can't do this or that? But then I'm rebuked quickly by the Lord and reminded, you have a tremendous wife. She's got 2 young ones, and she's got a 3rd one on the way, and she still loves you, amen. And she still cooks for you, and she still provides for you. And the other day I got a foot massage, not nearly as long as I wanted, but it was somewhat, I'm appreciative of it. And nonetheless, I got to be honest here, I'm behind the pulpit. But man, I thank God for my wife. Can I tell you something? Oftentimes the mindset that we have is, I'm thankful for them, but why don't you tell them then? Why don't you tell them? Why don't you tell them? Hey, if you're grateful for somebody in your life, let them know. You don't know what's going on in their life. That little woman back at home may be thinking that you don't care for her at all and that you don't see the hard work that she does because you never say anything. Let's be very cautious. The same applies for women to their husbands and children. I understand that foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and there's a stage that our teenagers go through, or maybe even younger than that, where there's rebellion and inward rebellion and outward rebellion. I get all that, and I know that's just going to happen. They have to deal with it. However, I believe one of the reasons why teenagers take their hearts or parents lose the heart of their children? I'll tell you why. They don't get any praise. They don't get any praise. Let me make an application here. How often do you hear about a young daughter giving her heart to a young man that had no business having that heart? That heart should have been with daddy. That heart should have been with mommy, but maybe the busyness of work and the busyness of just entertainment and living for self, daddy and mommy forgot to praise the daughter or the son. Now somebody has that heart, and once that heart is had, it's hard to get it back. Let's be very cautious to praise our children for our family's sake. I love seeing happy families. And you know, one of the things that I noticed about happy families, and I don't want to start naming them off in here because all of you are happy, amen. And one of the things that I notice is sometimes I'll just hear, "Mom, wow, son, good job. Wow, bud, wow, you did this." And I tell myself, that's why they're a happy family. Because there's praise. Let me wrap this up here in conclusion. Number one, the first question I asked was, what is praise? Number two, who are we to praise, the Lord and others? And number three here, why don't we praise? And I see the time, why don't we praise? One of the reasons why we don't praise, and it's unfortunate, and I'm guilty of this, is because of self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. It's all about me. And God forbid, if you're in here and you're listening to a sermon on praise, maybe in your mind you're thinking, boy, maybe he could have preached something else from the Bible. Can I tell you something? We're going to be very careful about being self-centered. Self-centeredness is the reason why I don't praise my wife as often as I should, and I'm guilty of that. Self-centeredness is when I have a fellow employee or a coworker that is doing a good job, and because of self-centeredness and me wanting the spotlight on me, not wanting to praise him, I don't praise him. Self-centeredness and thinking that I'm the only important person in this world is the reason why I won't take time to look at good things in my son, but only the bad things. Self-centeredness. Let's be very cautious about that. And it ties right into my next point. Why don't we praise? Pride. Pride. We don't want to lift somebody else up. We can't stand the fact that that guy is going to get recognition and now we can't. I was talking to somebody the other day and this subject came up. One of the things that they mentioned was we don't praise because we don't want to get them proud. I understand that. I get that sometimes when people get praise that they get proud, but can I encourage you? Let that be between them and God. You do your part. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Death and life from the power of the tongue. Use your words to encourage, and if they get proud, that's their problem with the Lord, but you did your job to encourage. Be careful with pride. Well, I don't want my wife to think that she's carrying most of the load, so I don't want her to let her think that she's doing a great job at home because maybe she's never going to grow. She's just going to stop right there. No, your wife may love you more. Your wife may want to serve you more. Your wife may want to cook for you more. Pride. Another reason why we don't praise is we don't see the purpose. We don't see the purpose. I don't need to praise him. I don't need to praise her. It's not going to make any difference. Is that really going to help my teenage son? Nah. He's a good boy anyways. You don't know. You don't know what a little praise can do. A little praise can go a long way. And let me give some benefits of praise, and I'll be done in about a minute here. There are some benefits of praise. We talked about what is praise. We talked about who we should praise, and I hope that you implement praise, more praise into your prayer life, and you'll see magical things happen in your prayer time, and your relationship with God will be more close with one another, and I encourage you to do that. We ought to praise others, and then why don't we praise? Self-centeredness, pride. We don't see the purpose. And then in closing, here are some benefits of why we should praise. The more you praise, I like this. I got this quote from the internet. The more you praise, the more you train your mind to look for good things in people. You're much happier this way. When we train our minds to look for the good, we live happier this way. What does Pastor often say? It's easier to spread bad news than good. The same applies with praise and criticism. It's easier to criticize somebody and tell them what they're doing wrong than to say, hey, you're doing a good job. The more we train our minds to look in our children for the good things instead of yelling at them all the time, though rebuke is needed, please don't mistake me. The more that we train our minds to look for the good in our ministries, to look for the good in our marriage, the more that we'll be happier. A little praise goes a long way. Praise motivates. I have this illustration. I'm closing my Bible. I remember this very clearly when I was cleaning the fellowship hall on the Pacific building. pastor came in, and I was stripping and waxing the floor. We had been there for about 4 hours. I wasn't doing that the whole time. We were building some offices and some desks for our learning center, which I was not good at. Some of them had to be redone, amen. But praise help me. But anyhow, I remember pastor walked in, and right away, he didn't even look at me. And some of you, right when I do this, I'm not a great impersonator. But right when he walked in, he was like, whoa, did you do all this? And Well, yeah. I did do all that. And he made the biggest, I was 16 years old, 17 years old. He made the biggest deal about the little improvement that there was going on with the machine and my usage of it. And he was, wow, man, Brother Charlie, he called me Brother Charlie as a teenager. I can't believe it. You are the right man for the job. And he always knew how to recruit people, amen. Many of you have learned from him. And I was like, you know what, Pastor? Don't worry, it's 11 o'clock at night. I've got a couple hours left in me. Don't worry about that. Man, that praise from my pastor, from the man of God, he wasn't too good to come inside the auditorium or the fellowship hall to praise a little teenager that had nothing else better to do. But with that praise, I was motivated to do more for God. Who will you motivate with your praise? Somebody may be quitting. You can motivate them. Somebody may be discouraged in the home. There may be a teenager that is contemplating rebellion, but you may motivate them. I encourage you, praise is a very powerful tool. Let's implement it more in our lives. Let's pray.